This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, I want to dive into a little bit of baseball stuff for you. Now, the first baseball stuffs, not saying that this will actually happen, just telling you.
I'm listening.
Rob Manfred has said that Roki Sasaki is going to sign with a club as part of the 2025 international signing class, meaning he won't sign before January 15th. Now,
December 15th or January
15th? So what happens is December 15th is technically the start of the end of the year and the start of the new year, but you can't actually sign anything, I believe, until January 15th. So there's like that weird month dead period.
Would you say this is great news for the Rangers? Yes. It gives them a chance?
Especially because, and look, I'm not saying that Roki Sasaki is in it for the money at all, because otherwise he would have just waited until he was 25. But the Dodgers are at the bottom of the list in terms of international money that they have for the 2025 class. Whereas with this class, they still had the most because they had set this aside, one would think, I would think, for this specific reason. So now that this is going into 2025, I mean, it feels like the Rangers, at least from a financial perspective, are more in the game. It might not matter. This might already be a prepackaged deal. I have no clue, but this is good news for the Rangers if you think they're in the mix.
It was almost like the commissioner had to say this. This is just me reading into it last night. It's almost like he had to say this because all the teams are like, this isn't fair.
Maybe. Especially while they're meeting with Juan Soto. I know those things are not necessarily related, but it does feel a little.
It's like now that the Dodgers won, like, I know they won in 20, but like the first like legitimate championship, and they have Shohei and Mookie and Freddie Freeman, and now they're talking like you talked about. They got Yamamoto. It's almost like, hey, this isn't fair. And Manfred had to like speak out, go, okay, I'm going to try to make this sound like this is a fair competition to get Sasaki, even though I think everybody knows he's going to sign with the Dodgers.
And I am not arguing against that whatsoever, but if you wanted to prolong hope Rangers,
I want that hope. I know how much the Rangers think of him and how they think Roki Sasaki is going to be a multi-time all-star and a big-time pitcher. They believe he has the ability to be a Cy Young winner, the ace of a staff, obviously, for a long time. So I know that the Rangers believe that he can be arguably the best pitcher in baseball at some point.
How long can the Dodgers do this? Be like, we're going to spend all the money. Like, does it feel like this thing
could never... Until their TV contract changes, and unless they run into a...
Yeah, that's a good point.
...Valley situation... I think the only team to make more money financially than them is the Yankees. So like they are making, I don't know, I think to the Rangers, I think they're making five times the amount of revenue just off of local TV. Jeez. That's just that. That's not including everything else. And now from what I understand, yes, they have Otani and they're paying them. I know they're however it's structured, but they are getting so much money from Japan now. Because starting next year, as long as Otani's healthy, 40% of their games, maybe 60% of their games, or at least 50%, will be a starting pitcher from Japan that Japan tremendously cares about.
Yep.
So basically ESPN put out they had they asked a bunch of questions to executives across baseball. So executives and baseball insiders, they had a group of 18, though not everyone answered every single question. Will Juan Soto get more than $600 million?
So out of the 18?
Yep.
I'll say
no.
Eight said yes.
I'll say six said yes.
11 said yes, wow, and only right. Seven said no. Now, who's going to give it to him?
Mets. Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mets got 4 of the 18 votes. Blue Jays, 2. All the rest of the 12 votes, Yankees.
Okay.
Not one single vote for the Dodgers. I was surprised by that.
As much as Corey just said, can they? They can, but it does start getting into crazy yeah. amount of money plus the penalties on that money.
That is fair. Corbin Burnes, where will he end up?
Well, if they're saying Yankees for Soto, then that would take them out of the mix. And this is going to be really weird. I'm going to once again pick the Mets. If Soto goes to the Yankees, then I will say they pay so much money to get Burnes for the Mets.
The Mets are the overwhelming favorite on this one with 7 votes.
Dodgers?
They got 2 votes. But I want to just listen to these names because we're going to circle back around to it in just a second. Blake Snell, overwhelming favorite to go to the Giants, followed by the Phillies. Now, Max Fried is probably the closest of all. Only 4 votes go to the Mets, but that's the most. The rest are all broken down between 1 or 2. But what I wanted to bring up for y'all is the Rangers got a vote for both Max Fried and Corbin Burnes. I know we have talked pretty openly about the possibilities financially and all of this. What do you think about the prospect of either one of those pitchers, Burnes and or Fried, well, probably or, coming to Arlington?
One, I would love it.
Yes.
Two, I don't think that's likely at all. I would love to talk to the people who voted for that and go, hey, have you heard something different about the Rangers' budget in 2025?
Because logically, it could have, I'm not saying this at all, it could have been a Rangers executive, because some of these executives voted in this poll that involved their teams. Is it...
God, Max Fried's still good.
Oh, when he's healthy, he's one of the 5 best left-handed starting pitchers in the game.
But do you still default to, let's say you had your choice, Corbin Burnes, or do you think the price differential pushes you to Fried? Like,
I mean, I would say if you're making me pick one, yes, I would pick Fried because I think he's going to cost approximately, I'm only going approximately, $5 million less per year.
Okay.
And maybe it's $8 million less per year. But if you're doing a 4 or 5 year deal, and I think these guys get around that, I have trouble seeing a team going over 5 years with pitchers nowadays. But, you know, you take that times about 4 or 5, you're looking at a 20 to $40 million savings on Max Fried. And I think, maybe I'm wrong on this, I know Burnes is a little better, but I have them pretty much in the same tier when they're both healthy.
And for the person who asked, who the F is Corbin Burnes? He won the Cy Young in 2021 and has been top 8 3 other times.
He's really good.
So that's who he is.
He had a 1.10 whip last year with a 2.92 ERA, and that was with Baltimore.
That, I mean, Baltimore is pretty good. That whip is...
Because he was on their team.
Is very impressive.
It does stink for Baltimore that I'm assuming he's not really in consideration there. I don't know. I heard this, and I don't know how true it is, but I heard, like, yeah, he's not going back to Baltimore. I heard
the Orioles got 2 votes.
I heard
just
that,
to
in,
put
like,
that in perspective.
September, and I was like, why? They traded a lot for him. He is the ace they need. You cannot count on, there might be family members listening here because I do like him, but you can't count on Grayson Rodriguez. The dude is looking like he's very injury prone.
Yeah.
Great talent, young up and coming pitcher, hurt a lot. I'm like, dude, why wouldn't Baltimore, with everything they have in place, why wouldn't they be major bidders to keep Burnes? And did Burnes not like it there? And if he didn't like it there, what did he not like?
Maybe he just wanted that opportunity to go visit free agency. I just remember with the Brewers, didn't he get screwed over by them and he hated them for a little bit?
Well, the Brewers don't. They're in a small market. So he knew that it wasn't going to be long term. But Baltimore does have new ownership. Baltimore does have the money. And it just seems like Burns doesn't want to go back to Baltimore from what I hear. But I don't know if that's true or not.
Will Pete Alonso leave the New York Mets?
No.
I don't think so.
This one's close. 10 no, 8 yes. So obviously advantage to the no's, but pretty close right there. One executive said their current payroll allotment for next year is way below where this year's was, which would also lead you to believe that they're not going to get Juan Soto, or maybe that's one of the ways they facilitate that. You might care more about this next one, Corey. Will Alex Bregman leave the Astros?
Yes.
Have I mentioned this on the air that Boris, his agent, has said he's willing to move to second base and that might be his best defensive position, even though he just won the gold glove at third. People think his arm is just average for a third baseman, and they're worried as he gets a little bit older. Let's just say you sign him to an 8-year contract.
And he'll be 31 at the start of the season.
So you're saying move Simeon to third?
No, I don't. I'm going to tell you something. Let me ask you this, Ranger fans. Would you be happy? And I know that there's a 0% chance. But if the Rangers did get a Carlos Correa or a Jose Altuve or an Alex Bregman, would you guys be happy with that? It seems like there's so much hate for
Astros.
There's
a lot of hate there, man.
I don't know if fans would react fairly like excited about getting Alex Bregman. He doesn't really make sense for the Rangers.
That dude was always cocky towards us and everything, too. And
He's the guy you hate. 29 teams right now hate Alex Bregman. Yes. But when he's on your team, you love him.
Now, the insiders said they believe, yes, he will leave. 11 said yes, only 7 said no.
It's just interesting when Boris put that out there. He's like letting teams know, hey, second, he can be more valuable for you at second base, which maybe if teams do have a third baseman, he's saying, hey, he might be a second baseman.
I'm going to quick hit a couple more questions for you. Which free agent contract is going to raise the most eyebrows? Out of all of the executives and insiders, only one said Juan Soto. You probably won't be surprised to know that the leading vote getter was Nick Martinez, followed by Jurickson Profar. So they're already like, man, obviously it ended up just being the 1 year accepted the deal. But they thought it was going to be Nick Martinez.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Martinez, and then Jurickson Profar is up there. And we have discussed the possibility of him coming back to Arlington.
I would love for the Rangers to reach out and just see Profar's interest coming back to Texas. And then I would love to know, I don't know if the Rangers have any interest, just how would you use him?
Yeah.
As a DH first baseman, left fielder. Left fielder would be his third position, but I mean, I don't know. He could fit you for what you need the next 2 to 3 years.
Which smaller market team will make the most noise this offseason?
I'm going to go Reds.
Reds are second.
Red, you've been high on the Reds, too.
I think they got the Bochy situation. I think with Terry Francona, that team's going to win 85 to 95 games next year. 95 is probably too much, but I do think that they're going to be an 85 to 90 win team.
I'll tell you, this team is also very good. That's number one.
Detroit?
Reds are second. Detroit is actually tied for second. My apologies.
Royals?
Kansas City Royals lead the way.
When I think of small market, that's usually the first team I think of for whatever reason.
Yeah, no, I think that's very fair.
In Montreal.
Fair. Well, maybe soon. Maybe soon.
Who would have ever thought that now the American League Central is a really strong division?
Yeah, they flipped it on us pretty quick.
Good news for the Rangers. The West doesn't look like it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the lunch rush, and that means Mike likes it, and NFL reaction or reality, unless Mike's not ready. Next on The Fan.
Fakes the throw. Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan as we're gearing up for Cowboys Commanders, not the Generals, all right? Attorney General not on the list today. Right now...
Have the Generals ever beat the Globetrotters?
I think they have. I don't know how many times, but I feel like that's happened.
All right.
I think that like once.
Okay. Well, I'd be inclined to believe up. That. All right, you guys, we're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. Overreaction or reality. The Cowboys deserve to win. Now, people have been so caught up.
Six wins.
Six times?
Six times.
They've probably How played like 10,000
How horrible would that have been as a
times?
Kid if you yes. went?
Oh, my God. That would ruin
Here's
your day.
Wait, for the Globetrotters.
Yeah.
I saw these guys on Gilligan's Island and everything, and they just lost.
That would ruin your day. Now, a lot of people have gotten caught.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. There is a quote, Kevin.
Oh.
There is a quote here from one of the guys, Klotz, said the fans' reaction when they won, quote, they looked at us like we killed Santa Claus.
Oh, my gosh.
Whew. That's great.
All right. I love it. Now, a lot of things made about Micah Parsons saying we're a damn good team. I want to go to a different quote that I don't feel like has gotten enough play. Mike McCarthy told reporters, quote, we deserve to win. We deserve the opportunity to win. And that's why I'm putting the best people out there. And right now they're young, but we need to do whatever the hell we need to do to win. What do you think about the concept, whether it's the Cowboys or otherwise, about a team deserving to win?
I think you deserve to win if, like, you've done everything. Like, you can say if you went into a game that you just battled your butts off and everything, and you're like, we didn't make any mistakes, we didn't cut any quarters, right. Then you can say you deserve to win. But I don't think you deserve to win if you're just like, you're entitled to win. That's not a thing. Does that count?
Yeah, absolutely that counts.
This is sad where it the is, Cowboys
I,
are
I agree.
At. This is sad.
I'm
this,
with you.
It sounds like... I'm trying to be careful with my words here.
Probably smart.
It sounds like they're like in some sort of YMCA.
Like a rec league or
yeah,
something.
Like, yeah, like doesn't that team deserve to win?
Yeah.
Like we stacked it against them. We gave them a bad coach. We didn't give them the players that, you know, get the gold wristbands that are the best players. Like this just sounds so amateur.
Bonus, unexpected NFL overreaction or reality question. You're excited that Collectible Investments is going to provide us with a Walter Payton autograph magazine cover that's probably going to be framed.
He's my first ever favorite football player, and my Uncle Joe let me know that is unacceptable.
Because he was a Bear?
Yep.
And you're a Cowboys family?
Yep.
Walter Payton is amazing.
I cried reading his book.
Oh, because he died?
Yeah, but he wrote the book first.
Okay.
And then he died. His nickname was Sweetness, dude.
Makes sense.
Sweetness. Who gets a nickname like that being an awesome running back? Him, that's who. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's awesome. Right.
Overreaction of reality, the Chiefs losing to the Bills is actually a good thing for them. That's what I think.
I thought you might say a good thing for the NFL, and I said yes.
Okay, I mean,
I know what you're saying.
Answer that, too. I meant more specifically for the Chiefs because, look, you could be badass and go 15-1. I think having to answer questions about being undefeated is probably annoying. They're still the number one seed, and now they don't have to answer those questions anymore.
I understand the question. I just don't think I do think Patrick Mahomes is in that headspace where I don't think he needs a loss to be motivated. And I get he's not having a great year statistically and everything, but I get the question. Yeah, it's not the worst thing because now they know that the Bills have the tiebreaker, so they're only like a half game up on them the rest of the year. They don't have that because, like, with whether it's Baltimore, name another team they've beat in the AFC, they know that they have all the tiebreakers too. So a tie record, it doesn't matter. They have to have a better record. But now with Buffalo, they have a team that they have to hold off the rest of the season if they want that one seed.
I don't know. Because they were just getting by and people were yelling that they were just getting by.
Yeah.
And then they lose to a good team like the Cowboys would last year and the year before that. And then so now I wonder if they're like in their own minds going, were we just getting by? Like, were we just good enough? And now that's kind of cracked our armor a little bit.
Okay. I want to start with you on this next question then, because that goes exactly into what I was kind of thinking about. The Bills were the first team to score more than 28 points on the Kansas City defense in a regular season game since 2022.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. So my overreaction to reality, the Bills will beat the Chiefs in the playoffs if they meet this year.
See, if the Chiefs had beaten the Bills this week, I would say no. Because then the Bills would be in their mind of, we can't beat this team no matter what. They're in a bad time and they're in their head. I think they will. I think they got it figured out. Again, it did come down to last minute. If Josh Allen didn't make that spectacular play, Patrick Mahomes would have had plenty of time with the ball left in his hand to go in that game. But I think they got a chance. I definitely think they have a better chance.
It could happen. I'm just not betting against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
I get it. Yeah.
That's smart.
That is really smart. I have to say, because the Bills won the regular season game, this has now probably become the number one playoff matchup I want to see. You know, regardless of what round it is, I understand that that would probably shake out in the AFC Conference Championship. But regardless of where it is, I want to see this game happen again.
Yes.
I do too. All the AFC games are going to be way more like, the hype of it, Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen. Then you have Patrick Mahomes versus those two quarterbacks.
Justin Herbert's going to be in the mix,
Herbert
probably.
Getting any love. It doesn't look like Burrow's going to make it, but if somehow they get the last seed and they're in, then Burrow versus one of these quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, it's just, there's not that matchup at all in the NFC. Purdy versus Jared Goff. That doesn't sound like you have two Hall of Famers or two superstars facing each other. They're both solid quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I bet people, Jared Goff, I really want to see.
Goff versus Hurts.
I know. All right, whatever. And I really want to see if one of those two quarterbacks can change kind of what people think about them by like going on a big run. But to your point, the AFC, it feels like everyone's like, oh yeah, that's one of the best. That's one of the best. So is that. So is that. So
yeah. We'll see. Yeah, I think you're walking away from any golf contest going, that team is stacked. And you're probably with the Eagles, you're going, that offense is stacked.
NFL overreaction or reality. You believe Deion Sanders when he says he's happy at Colorado and has no desire to come to the NFL right now.
He just got the number two quarterback in the country to commit to his, or number two recruit in the country to commit to his college.
That's true. Or he could have his son as his quarterback with whatever new team he goes to.
I believe him. He has never lied to us.
He's happy because.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that based on one of our previous interviews.
You were so mad that day. It was so fun to watch you.
He's happy because, one, he's a good coach.
Yeah.
Two, his sons are on his team. I'm sorry, I don't know his son that's on defense. Yeah. Is he an NFL prospect?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Is he going to have fun when he can't really watch his kids play football if they're in the NFL because he's having to spend all his time coaching the Colorado Buffaloes? I just think that he's a good coach, but I think he's more of a coach for his kids rather than a college football coach. So, yeah, I think he's having a blast right now. Do I think he's going to have a blast possibly 3 years from now when he's coaching some kid he's just met? And I don't think that his heart is in it like college coaches are. Those are their kids. Those are their wives. Those are their, it's everything. When you become a coach at that level or professional level, your family is secondary. Your real family is that football team. Your real family is that baseball team. That's who you're spending all your time with. You're not spending much time at all with your family. So you have to make a decision. is this my family or is my son, my wife, my daughter, are they my family?
Yeah.
Shiloh's an interesting prospect because before in the week two, he was projected to be a fifth rounder in this year.
And, yeah, heard too.
Yeah, and he's kind of, he wasn't really doing that great leading up to it.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Netflix stream will freeze multiple times during the NFL games and Beyonce halftime performance on Christmas.
Well, as long as Antonio Brown's at the event, it'll be okay because he can just play what's on the bill, on the board, right? Have you seen that?
I don't know what that means.
He had six. He was at the fight with his phone off Jerry's board, and 6.6 million people were watching his stream.
Oh,
so they could see the fight without having any problems.
Interesting.
And then Jake Paul was like, look at that. More people were watching Antonio Brown's stream than most of the NBA playoffs last year.
Woo!
I think there's still going to be problems. They have plenty of time. And Jerry kind of alluded to that Tuesday with Sean and RJ. He was like, I think it was a really good kind of test run for them to figure out some problems before the NFL throws it on there.
Mike, what say you? Will there be a streaming issue? And if so, is that, I guess it's kind of a bonus question.
Did Amazon have some issues like initially when they first started too? So,
yeah. Is that the end of the Netflix experimentation if it's problematic on Christmas?
I say they're not going to have an issue because they want to be in the game of the NFL for the next 20 years. And they know if they screw this up, they're probably out for 2 years at least until they can prove to the NFL that they could handle an NFL audience.
Yeah.
So I think that they are going to have everything. Like, hey, you can have some issues. Like, Rosie Perez is calling the NFL game. But, like, I think that for the most part, the streaming thing, that they are going to get down because there's too much at stake because they would lose the NFL. And if you lose the NFL to Hulu and Apple and Amazon and all the other major networks, how are you supposed to bust back in? You're in.
True.
Your foot's in right now. You have to prove to them you can handle Christmas Day. If you prove to them you can't, there's too many other options. You don't need to go back to Netflix.
He's dead on.
Yeah, that is it. That's an interesting point. I think it's going to go well, too. NFL overreaction or reality? The Colts never should have benched Anthony Richardson.
In hindsight, I'll say that. At the time, I was like, hey, man, Joe Flacco's been helping you win.
What a hard turn that took for them.
And it happened very quickly. Yeah. In hindsight, I agree with that. At the time, I was like, just go with the dude. As Jerry said, who gives you the best chance to win? And at that time, it was him because Anthony Richardson had proven he makes poor mistakes. He goes for the big play all the time. He's always trying to make that big play, and it isn't necessarily what you need when you're just trying to win games.
I think they made the right decision by benching him.
Yeah.
I even if you know Joe Flacco's worse, even at the time, you need to send the message to the young man, we're not going to allow you to play this crappy. You have to play better than this if you want to be on the football field. And so I do like that they benched him. I do appreciate that they're giving him another chance, and hopefully he takes advantage of it. But I'm not going to, if I was him, I would not regret benching a guy that looked like he needed to wake up.
NFL overreaction or reality, you want to see Tommy DeVito play football. Now, he said last year, this is a quote, I love this quote, last year was a good story and how it happened, all the fun and games outside. It was fun. That was last year.
I'm
sticking to football. Not that I wasn't before. But he said, no more fun and games. I'm sticking to football. Daniel Jones was boring to watch. You are excited.
So no appearances is what he's saying?
That's what it feels like. Will you be excited to see Tommy DeVito play football?
Well, since I picked him up in my fantasy league, I guess I need to be excited because there weren't any other options at quarterback to go with. So I went with him, and he has a good matchup. But no, I'm not excited to watch him.
Good for you.
It's Tommy DeVito, dude.
I won't watch 1 second of whoever the crap they're playing this week, and I will watch one quarter, maybe a quarter and a half, of the Thanksgiving game.
Now, Alec, I'm going to have you and Corey answer this question because I know Mike is going to laugh as soon as we start. Here we go. NFL overreaction to reality. You have looked at the DraftKings chart about how the Cowboys can get the number one seed in the NFC, and you believe that they could if they went out, the Commanders beat the Eagles in Week 16, and otherwise both of those teams lose out, the Giants beat the Bucks, Saints, and Falcons, AFC teams win all of their remaining interconference matchups, the Lions lose out, the Vikings lose all of their games, except for when they play the Lions, because that would mean that the Packers and Bears both finish 9-8, the 49ers, Rams, Seahawks all finish 9-8, the Cardinals 8-9, the Falcons finish 9-8, win the South, and give the number one seed to the Dallas Cowboys.
That's it?
Yeah, that's all you got
to
do.
As my friend said, I would like to place one Abraham Lincoln on that at 50,000 to one odds.
I accept your bet.
Okay, one Abraham Lincoln.
That, you lost me after one seed. You'd have to run me through everything again. No, I mean, it's fun. It's crazy that there's still a chance. Like, I love stuff like that because it's like, of course it's not going to happen, but there's a weird way that it could, so technically, but no. I mean, I'm in it to try to get a top five pick at this point, so don't.
This team just has so many flaws in it still that they're just not, I'm not comfortable with it.
For sure.
But for one Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
I raise you two.
Hold on.
The fifth president of the United States.
Do you mean the $5 bill or the coin? Oh, yeah. I'm a pass on that bet then. All right. So bonus question, since you're talking about the draft picks, just real quick. And Mike, I will include you in this because this could actually happen. NFL overreaction or reality, the Cowboys will have a top five pick in this draft.
I think there's a 50% chance of that. I really do. Hey, Thanksgiving, if they lose on Thanksgiving, I think it goes up to like 80%.
I'm with you on that.
I think that at that point,
I think they could be top three.
We're looking at a lose out situation. Yeah.
This morning I was listening to Sean and Bobby and RJ and Peyton's show and
with Chris Strong.
And Bobby said, when I think if Sean asked him, what do you think their free agency is going to look like next year? And he said, I think it's going to look a lot like it did this past year. And if that's the case, because he also threw the line, they're going to rely heavily on youth and the draft. And if that's the case and they're picking in the top five, that's positive for them.
Okay.
Because they will get talent there. And yeah. They will get talent in the top if they're in a top five pick of the draft. So that could be a positive thing for them. It just might take time for some of that youth to grow.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to remind everyone we will be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington tomorrow off of Collins. And right now, it's time for some Mike Likes It.
It was cold this morning.
Fair.
Did you guys know that? There was frost on my mound. My bullpen mound that I have in the backyard. I like looked out there and I was like, whoa. I was like, it is cold. And so I was downstairs and I came downstairs in a t-shirt and shorts and I had to go back upstairs and put on a hoodie and pants. Mm-hmm. Downstairs, it was 61 degrees. Oof. But I didn't turn the heater on.
I like it.
So I decided like, hey, I don't know. It's sunny outside. I don't know what the temperature is right now, but I think it's supposed to get up to 70 today. Maybe low 70s. I'm not sure. But I thought, I'm not going to turn on the heater yet. I don't mind that I'm sleeping in
67 is what I've got right now.
Okay. Like I'm upstairs was probably a little bit warmer. I didn't check the thermostat. I'm going to guess it was like mid-60s. But I'm not willing to turn on the heater yet. I was wondering with the Tolos and you guys, are you willing to turn on the heater yet?
Is that a money or a comfort issue?
Both.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know how much money I'm saving by not turning the heater to like 67 degrees this morning. But I'm like, nah, don't need it.
The wife did. She was like, hey, we just got this Milo insulation. Everything's going to be fine, right? And I was like, yeah, go ahead. But she was like, I'm so cold. Everybody in the house was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's actually great right now. And she was like, I'm just so cold. I can't get warm. I was like, then go take a bath or something. She did. She also turned the heater on. And so as soon as it warmed up enough to where she said she felt comfortable, I turned it off. Like I immediately went to the app.
Did she leave for work?
Turned it off. No, she just doesn't pay attention to it. She doesn't hear it kick on and stuff. She just notices with her when her body makes a decision. So I immediately turned it off once she felt comfortable. And then I did, though, last night, because the temperature was dipping a lot and Lucy's been asking for it, I put a fire in the fireplace. And so everybody was pretty happy about that. But I'm with you, Mike. I like the house cold. I love it.
See, I'm with you as well. I think it can at least be 63 and you don't need to turn the heat on. However, the variable that's been introduced in the last couple of years is Noah. And so especially at night.
For his health?
Yeah, especially for his health and stuff.
His allergies.
Yeah, we need to turn... Well, it has been decided that we need to turn on the heat. So if it was up to me, I would have left it just the way you said.
This brings up another Mike likes it question. When do kids realize to keep the cover over them?
Like, you know, like Noah's not that age.
Right, still has blankets,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
And I'm like, at what point does our brain kick in? Is it 5 years old, like kindergarten? Is it four, like right before kindergarten, that we're like, hey, I'm a little bit cold in this bed. I'm going to make sure the blanket stays on me? Because, you know, you watch infants or young children.
Yeah.
They'll just take that blanket and then just lay there, you know, spread eagle. And you're
just
like,
yes, they will.
Hey, you're cold, but there is a blanket or multiple blankets in your crib or next to your bed. If you just keep those on you, you will stay warm. And we figure that out at some point. But I'm like, I don't know. Is it like 4 or 5? You're going to have to let me know with Noah.
I can tell you it's definitely not 2. Because, yes, we have gone through that experience.
I'm not answering your question here, but I have another topic on top of this. I always feel like, you know that episode where Homer's like, I don't want to get out of bed.
Yes.
I'm just so warm right now, I can't get out of bed. That's what, I've had that, but it's only when it's cold. Only when it's cold do I feel like I've made the little heater underneath my blanket that I am in the perfect condition and I don't want to get out of bed. That's the way I like it.
Okay. Next Mike likes it. Roy Smith, who is on YouTube, says, why is Bassick so premeditated? About what? What do you guys think I'm premeditated about? I'm now asking you, Roy Smith.
Wait, what? That you've thought something out ahead of time?
Yeah, why is Bassick so premeditated? What am I meditating on?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. By the way, from the 2 and 4, my daughter's 12. She still hasn't figured it out. So
okay.
That is unfortunate.
I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't either.
What do you think you meditate on previously or beforehand?
I don't even know, which would mean I'm not meditating.
Yeah, I think you're not premeditated.
Maybe they said premedicated. They just spelled it wrong.
Oh, it's gone past that. Other people are texting in. All right. Now I go back to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
On YouTube, while we were doing the Jerry Jones interview, believe it or not, all the Cowboy fans turned and said, you know what? I do really like what this guy's saying. I trust that the Cowboys are in good hands.
No, they didn't.
And I would like to say to all the Cowboy fans, I loved it. I thought you guys really rallied around each other.
There's
and
no way that happened.
There was like this, like, I believe in Jerry. And then somebody else said, I do too. And then they all joined together on YouTube this morning at 10:40-ish and said, man, I really enjoy this interview and Jerry's answers. And it was great. Or the total opposite happened and everybody started ganging up on Jerry Jones. Maybe a few people on us. We're just trying to ask questions. We're trying our best here.
Oh, that's
but
true.
Why is not the right question here. This is getting crazy. You guys have done this as long as I've done it. We became full-time employees at the same time. Have you ever seen it this bad? Like, have you, like, I know we haven't had YouTube forever. From 2013, we did not have a YouTube showing our shows. But from, I don't know, the last 7 years we've had YouTube. Maybe it's 6 years. I don't know. But, man, did it get crazy on YouTube as I was following the chatter during the interview.
You know, I was doing a hit in maybe Washington, D.C. I can't totally remember. Maybe
you do so. You're like, you're all over the country. I'm proud of you, bro.
Plus, that's the place that still says my name wrong, despite the fact that I've told them how to pronounce it.
Kevin Hoagland.
It feels like the discernibly the anger has shifted this year to a certain extent from Dak to Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just because people are like, hey, if somebody offered me four for 240, of course I'm going to sign it. Or just we did such a terrible job in the offseason. And literally everything we said and a lot of other people feared in the offseason is coming to pass. It does feel like he has gotten more directed specifically at him without and this person than in past years.
Yeah, this is as fierce as I've seen it from the fans of just disgust. And I still go back to if they hadn't been so aggressive in their, look, you guys don't know anything. That we're going to be great this year. Like we signed our guys. Don't forget, he was second in MVP voting last year. CeeDee Lamb, we got him back. We got those two. We're good. And we're going to have Micah signed here. So like in the all-in statement, you felt like you were trying to make progress and you took a step back. And so that's where I think that the fans feel like they got duped, even though a lot of them didn't really believe it in the first place. Like that's where I think the real calculation is, or miscalculation is, the fans are smarter than they've ever been before when it comes to understanding the salary cap, when it comes to understanding what actual talent is on the field. They're more informed than they've ever been, and you can't just get by with a, hey guys, everything's going to be good, and smile at everybody. That's not how it works anymore. So that's why the fans are coming back with so much anger at the moment.
I decided not to ask this question to Jerry. I was thinking about it because there were some empty seats. Now, I don't know what it looked like. I'm going off of Twitter or X. Is as the game was kicking off, there looked to be at least 10,000 empty seats. Maybe 15,000.
Yeah.
I don't know what it looked like at the end of the first quarter because there is traffic issues and stuff like that. It's not easy to get into that stadium. The parking is not the best. It's not the worst, but it's not the best. So I can get how maybe some people on a Monday night got there with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. And I didn't see those pictures like, hey, it has all filled in. People are here now. But I wanted to ask Jerry how he felt seeing that many empty seats. I don't know if he would have answered it. And here's the deal. Here's the reason I didn't ask this. Guys, I think it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
I think that Cincinnati Bengals game is going to look really ugly. I think the Tampa Bay game, it's here. I'm pretty sure December 22nd. I think that's going to look really ugly. I think there are going to be empty seats now. I know they're sold seats. They're not unsold seats.
But he cares about the aesthetics of it.
The look of the stadium having empty seats for the majority of the game.
I agree with you.
So I feel like that question can be asked later in the year because I think it's going to get worse. How do you guys feel about
the team's not giving them anything to root for?
Yeah, or to go see. Like, who do you want to see at this point?
And that can be blamed on Jerry,
Overshown,
but at the same time,
maybe.
Yeah, there's not a Aubrey. Lot. Even with Overshown, you're like, you get a piece of that, and it's inconsistent because he can't make every play.
And I know he has sacks this year, so don't get me wrong. But if you're talking about the two players that immediately jumped to my mind were a kicker and an off-the-ball linebacker, that's probably not the best.
I think, you know, when it comes to excitement, CeeDee Lamb and DeMarvion Overshown are the two most exciting players on the Cowboys team. I absolutely think that. And CeeDee Lamb's kind of taken a little bit of a knock because Cooper Rush isn't Dak. But sure, he's still exciting. The ball gets in his hands, and that's exciting. That's about it. Other than that, because the offensive line's inconsistent, there's no sustained drives. They can't score a lot.
I mean, the last two games, you've seen one touchdown. If you've watched every second of Cowboys football, you've seen, not counting the field goals that they took off the board, you've seen three field goals made and one touchdown in eight quarters.
And I believe that was their first home touchdown in 7 weeks. Yeah, so something like that.
It's boring. You're getting blown out. A league that makes sure that there's no blowouts.
Yeah.
There's just blowout after blowout. Like, I think that question will be raised. I just figured there'll be more weeks to talk about it, and it'll probably get worse. Last thing, I know we talked about it earlier in the show, just an update here, and it's not like a major update, but if you didn't hear it earlier, Luka has a wrist injury. Sham Sharonia is reporting he's out at least a week. I probably said his name wrong. I don't care.
I just have never heard that exact variation. Sharonia. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. He is reporting, and it's been confirmed, that yes, he will be missing, it sounds like, at least this road trip. Yes. Denver, Miami, Atlanta. Probably more if you're saying a week. Today is Thursday. The New York game is on Wednesday. On
and then that's Saturday and Sunday, right?
Yeah, they'll reevaluate him tough. Kind of right after the New York game to see if there's a possibility of him playing. Maybe he's a fast healer. The tough thing about Luka is I don't know. He confuses me. You would think that he would be out for 6 years at times, the way he acts. And then he's back 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Does he have a high pain tolerance? Does he have a low pain tolerance? Really, nobody knows that except for the doctors working with him. But I do think that this is going to put a stumbling block on the Mavericks, maybe after you saw them win three in a row. I do think it's going to be very tough for them to go on the road and win all three of these games without Luka. So I was really hoping for like this punch going into Thanksgiving of, man, the Mavericks are, hey, they didn't get out of the blocks good, but man, they're starting to show this and that. And they still can, but not as likely with Luka being out. And then hopefully by the time we get to December, he's ready to play again and healthy.
Yeah.
We're going to be just fine.
We're
going to go on a run. Kevin was like talking about it
earlier.
This
is a soft part of the schedule.
Soft part with the Heat and the Nuggets.
Like that.
Oh, okay.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's Top of the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Let's talk with our good friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com next on The Fan.